Our lesson tonight is out of Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 42, Christ's directives on facing ministry opposition. After Jesus Christ gave his pastoral ministry assignment to his disciples, he provided extensive directions on facing ministry opposition, what will be fully applied by Hebrew servants of God during the tribulation period. Nevertheless, these directives are applicable in spiritual principle in facing opposition to ministry in the church today. So we view Matthew 10, 16 to 42 on this subject for our insight, our application, and edification. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Matthew 10, beginning of verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not take thought how or what you shall say, for it shall be given you in that very moment what you shall speak. For it is not you that speaks, but the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For truly I say to you, you shall not have gone through over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciples that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father's knowledge, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, a daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receives me, and he that receiveth me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward. Okay, these instructions by Jesus to his disciples were given in view of his offer of the Messianic kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ that is yet to occur, as predicted in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. However, when Jesus gave these directives, the church era was still unrevealed, according to Ephesians 3, 1 to 6. So the ultimate fulfillment of this passage will occur in the future tribulation period. Nevertheless, the battle between God and Satan exists now, as it will then. So the spiritual dynamics of our era are similar, not to the same degree, but they are similar to those of the tribulation. So we apply Christ's Matthew 10, 16 to 42 message in principle today. Christ's Matthew 10:16 claimed that he sent his disciples out as sheep among wolves, requiring them to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, recalls a similar statement in the Hebrew Midrash. The Midrash was a commentary that the Jews wrote about their Hebrew Old Testament. But there, Israel is the sheep and the Gentiles are the wolves. However, Jesus was sending his disciples only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember back in verses 5 and 6 of this chapter. Don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as he's going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he's going to run into the wolves. So the wolves are in Israel. So like Paul predicted in Acts chapter 20, verses 29 to 30, when he was ministering to the elders of the church at Ephesus, we who disciple in the church era will face spiritually dangerous wolves in our local churches. And that requires us to be wise as serpents but harmless as doves right in our churches. It's interesting, when Paul gave that warning in Acts chapter 20, let me just briefly look at it here for you. He says, he was speaking to the elders of the church, for he says, "For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous or fierce wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples of them." So you're going to have the rise of leaders who are very difficult, and they will be opponents of the flock of God and opponents of the leaders of the flock of God as well. Accordingly, those who disciple in today's churches must realize that they will be forcefully opposed, but that Christ's servants will need to rely on the Holy Spirit to know how and what to say and when to say it in crises with spiritual wolves, for God's Spirit will be speaking through them to counter such foes. This is interesting. Even in the pastorate, I've had this kind of experience where you get into a very ticklish situation, a crisis situation that comes up, and it's designed by Satan to catch you off guard. But in the midst of this, there's an overwhelming drive, and I'm sure it comes from the Holy Spirit, and clarity, very great clarity in the mind as to what is right and what is wrong. And so you speak it, and that's the Holy Spirit. I've had Christians tell me that they've had this experience when they're witnessing to unsaved people. All of a sudden, the unsaved person will come back with a retort, or they'll have a question or something. All of a sudden, a Bible verse comes to mind. They hadn't been thinking about it for weeks, and they go with that verse, and that's what the Lord uses to break through with the witnessing opportunity. That's the Holy Spirit. So we need to rely on the Spirit of God when we're in crises like that. The opposition Christ's servants will face will involve even family members, as they will face hatred from all men in general. But Christ's servants were to withdraw from such persecution, verses 21 to 23. Such opposition is what Christ's servants' master had faced, so they would face the same. Often believers are frustrated, or they're concerned because they face this from maybe relatives or close family members. They face this, the people who don't know the Lord. Often they're new Christians, and they're all excited about accepting the Christ, so they go and they tell their relatives, and all of a sudden the relatives have this tremendous negative reaction to them. Well, this is something that's not new. This is a very old situation. Well, Christ's servants need to be bold in their teaching and preaching and not fear what their foes might do to them. For God will hold everyone accountable for what they do to his servants. Also, God knows all about every part of a believer's being, and he greatly cares about it all. So Christ's servants are to present God's truth without restraint due to their accountability to him. The very hairs of our head are all numbered. He knows the details in our physical bodies. He knows the details of our minds. He knows all about it. So we can just trust him. And number 7, Christ's servants were to realize that God's goal in their ministries was not to produce harmony among all men, but to create division between the godly and the ungodly, even with family units. So Christ's servants and the godly who heard their messages were to love Christ more, and even close family members, to take up their cross and lose their lives, if required, for righteousness' sake, that they might find great blessing in the Lord. So we need to be prepared to pay whatever price is necessary that God calls upon us. in serving him. Now, we have to be careful. We have to make sure that we're doing the Lord's will. I think some Christians have a persecution complex, and they go out of their way to be irritable. And obviously, if you're intentionally irritable to someone, you're going to get an irritable response. But there is, when we are giving out the truth of the Word of God, there's a reaction to that if a person who is a sinner is faced with that, because their tendency is either is to be defensive and protect themselves, or to come under conviction of sin, which is uncomfortable. But they have to come under conviction of sin before they can repent, before they can believe. So that's why there's this tension that occurs when we're involved in administering the truth of God. So, in the end, God will judge all who hear his servants based on how they respond to those messengers. For how the hearers treat God's servants will reflect their attitude towards God who sent them. See, when people are reacting to you in a negative way, or in a way of opposition, when you're doing what God wants you to do, they're actually reflecting on the Lord. And someday they're going to stand before God. They're going to give an account for that reaction. God's going to say, why did you react that way? That was my servant, you know. And that's going to be a shock to a number of people. This morning we were in our adult Sunday school class. We talked about the great white throne judgment. That's when every unbeliever stands before the Lord Jesus. And he has to give an account of himself. He's going to be judged by his works, since they haven't believed in Christ. And God will judge them by their works. And their works, of course, will not exonerate them at all. So then you go through one more book. It's the book of the Lamb's book of life. That's Christ's book of life. To see if their name was there. See if they'd accepted Christ. And of course, if they hadn't accepted Christ, they're cast into the lake of fire. So everyone's going to give an account. And we need to keep this in mind. If people are opposing us when we're doing the will of God, they're going to give an account to God someday. So the lesson is Christ's directives to his disciples who were to preach of Christ's kingdom, though applied more fully in the tribulation since Christ would postpone his kingdom when Israel rejected him and institute the intervening church era, they're still spiritually applicable to Christ's servants in today's church. Thus, we who disciple in the church era must understand that, number one, Christ has sent us out as sheep among spiritual wolves, even in our local churches. So we must be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves in the church. In particular, A, we must rely on the Holy Spirit for the words we are to say when we are opposed. B, we will face opposition even from family members, so we should withdraw from them, knowing that our Master Jesus faced similar trials. And then C, we must not fear our foes, for God will hold them accountable for what they do. And God knows of our needs under persecution and cares about us so as to provide what we need to serve him. We must realize that God does not intend to make unite all men, but to separate the godly from the ungodly. So we must be willing to suffer in ministry for God's reward. God holds all men accountable for how they treat us, so we must fulfill our mission. And so the application, may we heed Christ's applicably spiritual principles on handling ministry opposition and serving him. There's a story many years ago during World War II. There was a Christian missionary lady. She was working somewhere in the Far East, I forget where, but she was taken captured by the Japanese when the Japanese army had come in, and she was put in a prison. And in this prison, it was a cell where she was confined, and then they fed her different types of porridge and whatnot. It was just not very delectable at all. And she was suffering with depression, struggling with it, and all of a sudden, somebody threw a whole bunch of bananas, you know, where they have the bananas where they cut them off the branch, and they have a whole, not just a bunch that you would buy in the store, but those bunches are hooked onto a long group of bananas. It's a pile about this big. We used to hang them up when I was in Africa, and you let them ripen there. Someone threw that over the wall into her area. So she had, and that was like eating caviar for her. I mean, she was, there was like a delicacy. She had bananas, and as the bananas ripened, she had got to eat them. And she was very grateful to the Lord that even in her imprisonment as a prisoner of war during World War II, The Lord treated her well and provided for her very needs until she was released and she got away from that captivity. So it's amazing. And she said that she learned through that experience how we need to rely upon the Lord. The Lord is always protective. He's always providing for us so that we can do His will, even in a difficult situation like that. Another story comes to us from the Congo. I don't know how many of you have heard of this, but there was a time, I think it was the early 1960s, where the Mau Maus, the Marxists, came in, and they took over various stations where missionaries were. And there was a missionary lady there, and she was wounded by an arrow that came. And they had just been about ready to leave the station, but they hadn't wrapped up everything. And there was surgical soap that was still left. There was a Band-Aid and everything. And even though she had been wounded by this, they had the surgical soap to treat her and to take care of her. And they did. And the Mau Maus came. She was wounded. And then the Mau Maus were driven back, apparently by the government forces. But later, she said, "I didn't recognize how utterly dependent we are upon the Lord." But the timing of everything, the fact that they had left the surgical soap out, they had left the gauze out, the bandage out, so that she could have that wound treated and taken care of so she wouldn't get, you know, infection. As you get, infection is a real common problem in the tropics like that. But she didn't suffer from any prolonged problems with that. And she testified as she was amazed at how the Lord had taken care of her so she could continue the work that God had for her. God wanted her to leave that station, then go back to the Congo later when the mission opened up. So these are just some stories from missionaries, but I know we can. If I listen to you, you could probably give me various stories of how the Lord has helped you in difficult situations when you've been involved in ministry or even testifying of other people. But God wants us to go ahead and face ministry opposition. He knows what we're going to face. He's given us the equipment to handle it. So go ahead and face it for the glory of God.